preaching through the book of 2 Corinthians. Welcome to those that are listening online tonight. We're glad to have you with us. And I hope that all of you will be praying for us. We have preached through the book, through the chapters 1, 2, and 3. And I want to say tonight that this passage of Scripture here is part of the passages of Scripture that had probably some of the greatest effect on the founding of our nation and the laws that were established in our nation. Our founders were people of the book. They read the Bible. They were very, very deeply, Scriptures were deeply ingrained within them. And their thinking sprung out of biblical truth. And so when they wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and when they wrote the laws of our land from state to state, when you got out of the federal level, the laws of the Word of God were inculcated into it, but they knew something. They knew that you could not build enough prisons, nor you could not hire enough policemen to make people do right. Amen. If you didn't have the Spirit of the Lord working in the hearts of people. Amen. The greatest stand against evil in a land is to have the Word of God in the hearts of people. That's why churches are critically important, and preaching is important, and teaching is important. And we're going to look at this thing of liberty tonight. We came down to the 17th verse of chapter 3 is where we left off. The Bible said, by the way, this verse here is one of the verses which this church was named. And this wasn't just a casual thing. It was a very, very important verse to us. I can remember the night we discussed this. I really can. Down in the old church, I can remember the night we discussed this. And it says in verse 17 and 18, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, now I want you to get this, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is something. There is liberty. Amen. There is nothing sweeter, nothing better in this world than having liberty in the Lord, and it comes where the Spirit of the Lord is. Then he says something interesting in verse 18. Connected to this, he said, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Lord, help me to preach tonight. Lord, I really need your help. Lord, you know more than I even know myself, and more than these people definitely know, Lord, how I need the constraining power of the Holy Spirit to get my thoughts organized, to be clear, and Lord, to be balanced and rightly divide the word of truth. God, I pray tonight that these great and wonderful truths would become part and parcel of who we are in our souls, our families, our homes, our hearts, and Lord, even in our nation. God, help me tonight preach. Oh, God, help me. I mean, Lord, Holy Spirit, please help us. Open our eyes and help us behold wondrous things out of the law of God tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the Bible says there where the Spirit of the Lord is in verse number 17. Now, he said, the Lord is that Spirit. Now, there you have your triune Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, I want to tell you tonight, you cannot do and see the power of God work without liberty being there. Amen. And in order to have the liberty, you have to have the Spirit of God there. And that's why we use this first part of our church's name is liberty. And then faith came off of the four times the Bible said the just shall live by faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing comes by the word of God. But we knew that we needed the Spirit of the Lord, and we wanted freedom and liberty for God to work in our hearts and our lives and our families and so forth and through the services. And that's why we did that. But it says where the Spirit of the Lord is, now think about this for just a second. It says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But let me ask you a question. Where is the Spirit of the Lord? But where is the Spirit of the Lord? Now, I want to tell you something tonight, and this is very critical. The Spirit of the Lord's right here. Now, listen to me tonight. Jesus said in John 6:63 that my words are spirit and they're truth. And here's what the balance needs to be. The Spirit of the Lord will never operate in opposition or contrary or apart from the Word of the Lord. Amen. This book is a spiritual book. It is living. It's quick and alive and powerful. It changes people. Amen. It gives life to people. This book is not just ink and paper. It is a living book. It's the Word of God. God spoke this world into existence by His Word. And so what I want to say to you, where the Spirit of the Lord is liberty, but where is the Spirit of the Lord? You find the Spirit of the Lord in connection with the Word of God. You never find it disconnected from the Bible. Now you say, Reggie, what are you talking about there? Well, where the Word of God is, now let me say something to you. First of all, the Word of God has to be received. You can't have liberty in Christ unless you receive the Word of God, believe the Word of God, and let me say further, it has to be rightly divided. Amen. If it's interpreted, you'll get messed up. Amen. But if you do what the Bible said no scripture is given to any private interpretation. We're to rightly divide the Word of truth. But let me go further. If there's going to be liberty and the Spirit's involved in it, there'll be obedience to the Word of God and submission to the Word of God and surrender to the Word of God. There will not be rebellion to the Word of God. Let me just tell you right now, even to this day, right now in this church, there is a resistance to the Spirit of God in this church in some areas of life. I'm telling you tonight, I love you enough to tell you, and by the way, I think those that are spiritually discerned, you already know. There is areas of rebellion amongst our congregation against certain areas of the Bible where people have just said, I don't care what it says, not doing it. Now, it got quiet in here. But I'm telling you, there is where there's the Spirit of God is obeyed and surrendered to and yielded to. And you say, you know what? Because the Spirit of God lives within me, I'm going to be obedient to the Word of God. And if that's what the Bible teaches, I'm going to submit to it. I may not do a very good job of it. I may not be the best Christian, but at least my attitude and my heart is going to be, I want to obey the Bible, okay? Now, to be honest with you, all of us have areas in our life where we struggle in obedience to the Word of God. But you cannot have rebellion against the Word of God and have liberty in a life. It don't happen. You cannot have rebellion against the Word of God in a nation, and that nation experience liberty very long. Right. Now, so it's got to be rightly divided. It's got to be believed and received and obeyed and submitted to in order for that spirit of liberty to be upon a person, a family, or a church or a nation. The Spirit will always be in connection to the Word of God. As I said, Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. We need both. Now, listen to me carefully right here. This will help us because we've been talking about the letter of the administration of the law here in chapter 3 and the administration of the Spirit. And he said, one will kill you, the letter will kill you, but the Spirit will give life. And we talked about how that we want more than the letter of the law. We want the Spirit of God working. It's not thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. We want to serve God with joy from our hearts and obedience to the Word of God, okay? That's the goal. Now, we need both. They run together. The Spirit and the Word run together. If you try to have the Spirit of God without absolute adherence to the Word of God, you'll get false doctrine, you'll get chaos, and you'll have error. Yep. And it's all over this nation. Right. Amen. Let me just tell you the honest truth about it. 80% of these church services where they're all swaying, they ain't heard a Bible preaching message in 6 months. And they don't want one either. They don't tend to have anybody ever reprove, rebuke, or correct them from the Word of God. But they want to be made to feel spiritual without the Word. Their attitude toward preaching is, don't preach at me. The only verse they know to quote is, judge not that you be not judged. And they take that out of context. And they're doing what they're telling you not to do when they're telling you. Now, but here's another problem. If you have the Word without the Spirit in your life, you're dead. You'll have a dead church service. I mean, it'll just be as dead as last year's rocks. And it'll be the letter. It'll be legalism, Phariseeism, and dead church services and a dead life. Oh, yeah, you may know it all. And it may be talked about in Sunday school, and it may be preached from the pulpit. But if the Spirit of God's not in it, it's bad. It'll kill you. It'll make you sick. It'll make you choke like a goat, amen? Now, the liberty that is in the liberty is in the boundaries of God's law. Now, if you want to write something down, let me tell you something. Liberty is always within the bounds of God's law. There is no such thing as liberty not being within the bounds of God's law. Let me just illustrate to you here. About like the woman saying, oh, I have a license. I have liberty to drive. But see, she doesn't have a liberty to drive anywhere she wants to in any way she wants to or any speed she wants to. She could say, I'm going to drive across this guy's yard. How many of you are going to go for that? She'd say, well, I've got liberty to drive. You see, we really know this down in our hearts. We know that liberty does not allow us to do it. One of the problems in the church today is that everybody wants liberty to live. They want to be libertines, which is not liberty. They want to be... There's a political movement, kind of, what do they call them? Libertarians. And libertarians, you know what their main program is? Pot. They want everybody to be a smoke dope. I'm going to tell you about pot. It's one of the worst things that ever hit this nation. Amen. It's killed more people than you can count. Right. And they don't want anybody to tell them that's... another thing they don't like marriage. They think everybody ought to just be able to live together and that's just fine. You see, they don't want liberty. They want license to do anything they want to do. But let me tell you something. You can't have God, Almighty God, runs this universe. You cannot have liberty unless you stay within the bounds of God's word. God will take your liberty away if you live outside the bounds of God's word. I want to tell you, you say, Reggie, you're saved. Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where they were selling meat in the offer to idols and paganistic services there. And he said, if somebody invites you to their house and they're wanting to feed you this meat that was offered to idols, he said, you be disposed to go. And he said, you know, if it's not violating your conscience, have at it. But he said, if there's somebody there that says, hey, that really bothers me, you eating that, he said, try to basically, you know, have some deference there and consider how it may hurt them and so forth. And what he's talking about, but at the end of it, he said, why am I judged? Why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? There are areas of doubtful disputation. Can I just tell you right now in this church here tonight, there's people and please listen to me. I've dealt with this for years and years, and I just run with the flow. It doesn't bother me a bit in the world. There may be a family coming to this church, and they want all their family to be together in Bible class, and they don't want their kids in a classroom somewhere. I don't have a problem with that. I don't see anywhere in the Bible that they're supposed to, that I should say, well, you need to send your kids down to class. But somebody else says, well, I want my kids to be involved in this. That's fine. But another family says, I don't. Can I just tell y'all something? Don't get hung up on that and beat each other to death over stupid stuff like that. Give everybody a little space to work their own salvation out. They may have a reason for doing what they're doing, and you may not ever have a clue about it. And by the way, if we don't have that, that's what's called Christian liberty among a congregation and so forth. And you have doubtful disputation about certain things. I'm going to tell you, some of you are going to color eggs and have Easter eggs at Christmas, I mean, at Easter. And some of you may say, well, that's paganism to me. Don't they know that? What's the matter with them heathen? And some of you, that ain't what's in your mind at all. You're just having fun with the kids. Don't eat each other up over that, over your Christian liberty. Some of you may have a Christmas tree and some of you may think it's pagan. And I don't care what you think about that. I've got bigger fish to fry than your Christmas tree. I'm honest with you. And if you want to have Christmas, fine, help yourself. But if you don't, I'm glad for you. I can respect you and I will respect you. Some of you are going to go out and trick-or-treating. You know, I'm not into that. Don't like it. But you know, if you do, I'm not going to get up here and beat you to death because I seen your kid out trick-or-treating. Long as they get some candy out of the deal. No, seriously, I want to get this out of the way. There's a lot of things that's involved in Christian liberty that we have to give each other a little room about, you know. And by the way, how many's in here is all in the same stage of Christian growth? Can I tell you something? A lot of it has to do with your background, what you were saved out of. It has to do with maybe how you were raised and so forth and things, how your perspective. Let me just tell you right now, you give me somebody, I'll just give you this for example. I've seen this over and over again. I was talking about Edna Cadavis this morning. You give me Roman Catholic, get saved by the grace of God. They've been steeped in Roman Catholicism, get saved in the grace of God. I'll tell you what, man, they're the worst against Roman Catholicism you ever seen in your life. Because it's raised it. They know the bondage that was in it. You take somebody raised in the band of a cult. I'm just saying to you, we have to give each other. And you may say, well, why are you getting all bent out of shape about that? Well, that's where they came from. That's their perspective of life. Somebody may have been saved out of awful debauchery, and they just, you see, there's some things that are my, I've got hot buttons. One of them's rock and roll. Another one's country western music. Another's liquor. Those are hot buttons, because that stuff about took me to hell. Another hot button of mine is dead church services. I can't stand them. I mean, I'd come up here and hang off the chandeliers if the church service got that bad. I'd do something. I say, these kids ain't going to a dead church, amen. Amen. But those are hot buttons. I mean, they say, Reggie, you're just going crazy. No, I ain't going crazy. I just don't want no dead church. Right. So anyway, but you say, okay, I'm saved and I have Christian liberty. But do I have liberty to go out and commit adultery? No. Well, who says? God's word. I'm saved. Do I have a right to go immodest? What would y'all think if I come up here next week and my three buttons unbuttoned here? Or I put on skin-tight breeches, come up here, you know, and little pony shoes. What if I come up here next week, my hair cut like a weirdo? That is not my salvation. But it has to do with my Christian liberty. Amen. And if it's, first of all, if it violates the word of God, can I tell you, if I got my hair cut like a lot of people getting a haircut, I'd look like a woman, and that would be biblically wrong. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, I've never seen like in my life. If I can't go out here and be immoral and say, well, I've got Christian liberty to be immoral, I don't have to be faithful and caring. I'm a Christian. I've got liberty. I'm not, watch this one. I'm not under the law. You don't know what you're talking about. Right. Yes, God has got you fenced in. I'll show you in the New Testament what Jesus says about that. Well, what about stealing? Because I'm saved, can I steal? Can I lie? You know, it's funny that all the Islamic faith believes all this stuff. Did you know that? They've got justification for almost everything I've mentioned in their Quran. I've got Christian liberty. I can beat Karen, slap her around. No, I don't. The Bible said, love your wife as Christ loved the church. I don't have liberty to do that. What about immodesty? I want to tell you something right now, makes me sick. And that's these here, look at me like wintertime pantyhose all these women's are wearing. Make me sick. That's wicked. That's nasty. That's filthy. Can I tell you women something? I don't want to see your body like that. Amen. Showing every, I mean, just look like spandex pulled up, look like a pair of glorified pantyhoses. Amen. It's wrong. And I love you enough to tell you so. God said not to show your nakedness. It's wicked. It's wrong. By the way, them skin-tight breeches you're wearing, that's total rebellion, and you know it is. Now, I know something. I know it don't, but I'm going to tell you something. One of these days, either here or at judgment, you're going to find out I love you enough told you the truth. Amen. And what blows me away is if women don't understand that, they've not grown up yet. Or they've got something wrong going on in here. Is it, I'm a Christian. Can I gossip? I'm saved. I've got liberty. Can I gossip? Can I defile other people and sow discord and cuss and tell filthy jokes and watch pornography because I'm saved? You all know that. You know you can. That's sin. That's wickedness. That's violation of God's holy word. We have liberty only in law. We do not have license. Can I tell you something? That gender identity is not fluid. It's set in the concrete of God's eternal word. You're either a male or a female. I kind of like what that old boy said. He said, well, I guess I'll just identify as a 7-year-old and get my Social Security when I'm 40. I'll tell you, that's the stupidest bunch of junk I've ever heard in my life. That's ignorant of pet coon, the old timers used to say. And I want to tell you something right now. That's not a doubtful disputation. Modesty's not a doubtful disputation. Immorality's not a doubtful disputation. We are never to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. But again, God takes away liberty from people in a relationship to which his law is violated. But the great secret of Christianity is that the law of God was written on their hearts, not on stone. God says, if you get saved and the Spirit of God is working in your heart, there will be a change and you will have a desire to obey the Word of God and submit to the Word of God. You will not rebel. That's letter. That kill you. Amen. God says, this new ministration is by the Spirit of the Lord. The law was written. He said, I want the law written on your hearts, not on a piece of rock. You get me a thief over here in jail that gets saved, gets out. He doesn't say, well, I wonder who I can rob now. If he's truly saved, you know what, Danny? He don't want to go rob anybody. Why? Because the Spirit of God wrote that on his heart. Now, in Leviticus, I want you to take your Bibles, Leviticus chapter 17, or chapter 25 and verse number 10. Now, remember that in our text, it said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Go to Leviticus chapter 25, and we're going to look at verse number 10. And what happens here is God's giving them, kind of at the close of giving the law and everything, he gives them the law of the land, the year of Jubilee. On the Liberty Bell, how many's ever heard of the Liberty Bell? This verse is on the Liberty Bell. This tells you a whole lot about our founding fathers. It was not an accident that they inscribed Leviticus 25:10 on the Liberty Bell. And here's what it says, and you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land. That phrase, proclaim liberty throughout all the land, is written on your Liberty Bell. What were the founders telling you? They were telling you to go back to your Old Testament in your Bible and find out what brought liberty to a land. They were telling you how to not only get liberty, but how to sustain liberty in your personal life, in your home life, in your church life, and in your culture, social, civil life, and political life. So let's find out what it is. This is at the consummation of a passage of Scripture. Go back to Leviticus chapter 17. And we're going to say, what took us up to this chapter 25 and verse 10, where he said, now, God says, now you can proclaim liberty throughout the land. Well, in chapter 17, guess what? He's given them the sacrifice worship system. You know what he says? There's only one way you can do it. No other way. You know what he's telling you? You know what your founders were telling you? That we must worship Jesus Christ, and there's no other way to heaven. There's no other God to worship. Amen. And if we're going to have liberty, we have to worship the Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, I'm not going to go into that whole thing, but it's even got the door. It tells you all about it. The whole thing is a picture of Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross, how these sacrifices pictured the Lamb of God, and they were to worship no other way. And if you did not worship the way God said, you're out of here. God would not accept it. And by the way, basically, you just cut off death. Now, we'll get into some things here in a minute. All this proclamation of liberty was preceded by the law of God. Now, we know that God does not want that law written in cold stone. He wants his law written upon our hearts. Now, I want to tell you about the law. God says it's good, it's holy, it's just. Nothing wrong with the law, but it cannot save you. But you're living in a world in which God has ordained law, and we're going to live by somebody's law. Now, let me tell you what's happening in America. America is year by year, piece by piece, chipping away the law of God as a base foundation for our nation and replacing it with man's laws. For instance, in every state in this union, there used to be laws against sodomy. We're getting in a pitiful time. You know what? Now, I'm getting bullet shot now on Facebook just because I preach by quote Christians, just because I preach against sodomy and I preach against the Democrat Party. We're in a sad state when somebody claims they're saved and they don't like you preaching on that kind of junk. I make no apology for it. In fact, all it does is fire me up to go again. Amen. Don't tell me what not to preach. That's a no-no. Now, when you get into Leviticus chapter 18, God's giving you the prerequisites for liberty to be in the land. Look in chapter 18. He said, verse number, let's just jump down to number 5. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which of men do. You shall live in them. I am the Lord. None of you shall approach to any that's near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. You know what that's talking about? Incest. Now, how many cases you seen across the news of fathers and people who've, you know, molested their own family? Can I tell you, if you molest a child, somebody, you ought to be hung by the neck fast.
Amen. Amen.
Mamas and daddies, you ought to keep your hands off your children. Yeah. Nieces and nephews and uncles and aunts, and nobody ought to be messing around like that. And I'll tell you right now, you ain't never met nobody be against you as bad as I will be. You know what I'll tell you? Prepare to meet thy God, for you're fixing to meet him. I'll have mercy on you. Ask God to forgive you and save you, and then I think you ought to be put out.
Amen.
There's nothing any lower than abusing a child. And all across this country, how many sex trafficker people, how many kid people are they arresting right now? How many children are being abducted and made sex slaves in this land right now? We're worse than Sodom and Gomorrah, and it's because we're going to lose our liberty. God is not laughing at us. We're going to lose our liberty because we have forsaken. We cannot proclaim liberty and violate this word of God. Because I'm a Christian doesn't give me a right to commit incest. Amen.
Amen.
He said, none of you shall approach to him near of kin and see their nakedness. Thou art the nakedness of thy father, the nakedness of thy mother, thou shalt not uncover. She is thy mother. Can I tell you something? That Ham uncovered his father's nakedness, and I'm going to tell you what, that boy was cursed and still cursed to this day. You say, well, it was Canaan, his son. Yeah, it was. You got it. Because he uncovered the nakedness of Noah, his father. You think God's joking here? And that's before the law was ever written. That's back in Genesis chapter 6. Listen, this is good preaching. I don't care whether it makes you tied, upset. I can care less. This is the Bible. It'll free you. It'll make you a happy camper.
Yes.
The problem is, where is your heart in this? If your heart gets right, you'll love this kind of preaching. Now, it said there, he said, that, look at verse number 8. The nakedness of thy father's wife, thou shalt uncover his father's nakedness. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father. Hey, you boys, you keep your hands off your sister. You're a pervert. Amen. I tell you what, one of my boys ever touched their sister, and I knew that Danny, I'd knock them clear across the farm, stomped on them when they landed. Picked them up and hit them with a rock. Law wouldn't have to come after them. I'll tell you, brothers ought to protect their sisters.
Amen.
Now, this needs to get back in this land. Amen?
All right, amen.
I'm telling you, we need to get back. I'm sick of hearing teachers having sex with their students. I'm sick of hearing parents, incest with their children. I'm sick of uncles and aunts and blah, blah, blah. It's on the news all the time. It's sick. Amen. Nakedness thy sister. Look at verse number 11. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she thy sister, not uncover her nakedness. And on it goes, and it talks about all this stuff. But I want to show you something. Get down to verse number 19. It said that also thou shalt not approach a woman uncovered neck as long as you depart for cleanness. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. Let not any of thy seed pass through the fire of Molech. Neither shalt thou profane the name of the Lord thy God. Now look at verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It's an abomination.
Amen.
He said, neither shalt thou lie with beasts to defile thyself with. He said, shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down there to his confusion? Defile not ye yourselves any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. The land is defiled. Watch this. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Verse 28 says, if you do these things, said the land's going to spew you out. Let me tell the environmentalists something. It's not the coal plant's going to get them. It's their immorality is going to get this country.
Amen.
Verse 28 said, the land spew you out. The violent spew you out. The nations that were before you. And now in chapter 19, you go there. It talks about these immoral and this physical stuff and all that kind of stuff in chapter 18. In chapter 19, it gets in there and talks about social issues. And you get down to number 9, it tells you about when you reap the harvest of your land, don't wholly reap the corners. What's he talking about there? Taking care of poor people. Providing for people that's having a hard time. You don't just reap out the corners. You leave stuff for people to get there. He's providing a way for people to feed themselves with dignity. It wasn't a government handout, People would help their neighbors and provide for the neighbors. I'm going to tell you right now, my mama talked to me about my grandpa back during the Depression time. Said, Bridget, we had a great big old orchard. She said, before I went to school, and many times she said, my mama made me climb up in the trees and get the fruit out of it so she could work on it. But she said, neighbors come by, and my daddy would send me down to the cellar and say, go down and get a half a sack of apples and give them people. She said he wouldn't hardly let anybody come by and visit, leave without giving them something. She said a half a sack of apples was something else in the Depression to get.
Amen.
And that's where those people get that. They got it off. Whatever you've got, you ought to get out there and plant enough potatoes so you got enough to give to somebody else and be a blessing to other people. Then look what it said there in verse number 11. You should not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie one to another. I know a guy named a Schiff needs to read that.
Amen.
That's the awful snake I've ever seen. He's a serpent. Mercy, sakes alive. Verse number 13, thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. You don't cheat your neighbor. You don't lie to him. You do what you say you would do, and you don't cheat people and crook and lie to people. How many wants to live in a nation like that? I'm telling you, I'd like to live in a place where I wouldn't have to lock my front door. I wouldn't have to worry about getting robbed and getting stolen. You see, we can only, when you lock your door to your car out there, you've lost some of your liberty. You know why it takes you so long to get through the airport? It's because God has taken away some of our liberty because of our sin. That's why. The more locks that you've got on stuff is the evidence of less liberty.
Amen.
And he said, look here, verse 13. The wages of him that's hired shall not abide with thee all night till the morning. God says when you hire somebody, you pay him. We're talking about the prerequisites is to have liberty. Verse 14, thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before him, the blind. Man, a lie. Can you imagine cussing a man can't hear and putting a stumbling block in front of a blind man? Boy, that's deep theology too. That's got more than just the application right there, but I ain't got time to preach on that. But it's just do right by people. And he said in verse 15, in righteousness, judge your neighbor. Verse 16, I love it. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Neither shall I stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I'm the Lord. Verse 17, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt anywise rebuke thy neighbor and suffer sin upon him. God says, you know, that's why the Bible says better that he said rebuke is better than secret love. Man that loves you, rebuke you once in a while and say, hey, that ain't right. Anyway, and he goes all down through there. By the way, verse number 19, you shall keep, look, verse 18. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear grudge against the people of thy children, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Everybody thought that was just in the New Testament. No, that's the law of God. Isn't that a pretty good law? Love your neighbor as yourself.
Amen.
Sure it is. And look at verse 19. Thou shalt keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with the diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed. I don't, you know what? I read that and you know what I wonder? Wonder why we're such plagued with cancer all over this country.
Right.
Leon Harper, your daddy LT, sat on the front, he was sitting over on the front porch one day and I was visiting him and he went in the house and got a can of green beans. He said, Reggie, read that back label for me. I tried. I couldn't pronounce all the words. He said, can I tell you something, Reggie? He said, we're eating stuff we can't pronounce and it can't be good for us. I'll tell you, I believe half the stuff going on, this mixing of seed and mixing this and mixing that, and the Bible talks about mingling with the heathen. And God says it'll bring a curse on you. Tells you about there in 23 stuff about when you're planting trees and how to give God his part of it and so forth. Look at verse number 29, 28. All over Facebook, people just, I mean, they'll condemn the daylights out of you for even preaching on this. Look at verse 28. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead. Nor print any marks upon you. I'm the Lord. These little coward preachers getting up all the time saying, well, I tell you what, somebody comes in your church house and they got a tattoo on it and you don't make them feel welcome. Did you know something? I ain't never seen somebody walk through that door with tattoos on them that the people in this church did not welcome and love them.
Right.
Don't give me that garbage. What you're doing is you're covering yourself for you not preaching against it.
Right. Amen.
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 If you're going to preach the Bible, did you know something? Hey, listen. I mean, we've all got stuff we've done. Can I tell you something else? If you're going to, have you seen that? I mean, watch it. Hey, hang on 5 or 10 years. We ain't seen nothing yet. We're going to start looking like the Africans over there with these big deals in the ears like that. You see, once you start trying to make the world look at you, you'll never do enough messing up of your body to do it. You have to paint your face 42 covers. You'll have to dye your hair 42 times. You'll have to fix yourself so many different times. I'll tell you, poke yourself here and poke yourself there. I want to tell you what, the only thing I knew with nose rings when I was growing up was a pig.
Amen.
Why in the world would you want to put a deal through your nose? I'll tell you right now, if God wanted your ears pierced, he'd pierced them when you was in the womb. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Woo. Yeah. I'll tell you what. Again, I'll tell you something. It takes a lot of love to preach this stuff nowadays because everybody thinks you're a big legalist. I want you to have liberty. That's all I'm trying to do is set you free from the devil's bondage. And the world's bondage to you. Well, anyway, look down here, next verse. Do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore. You know what that means? Don't you let your daughter go be a cheerleader. Woo!
Amen.
Don't you let your daughter go be a pom-pom girl. You know what cheerleading and pom-pom's all about in these public schools? It's about your daughter showing her panties off to the whole crowd in the gymnasium.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Showing her naked. You're prostituting your daughter. To let her be a cheerleader or a pom-pom girl.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Exactly right. What daddy in his right mind would want his 16 or 15-year-old daughter down there showing her panties up doing whip-poo-flip-pos and a bunch of sorry dog men up there in the bleachers looking at her? You say, Reggie, you act like you aggravated. I tell you what, I hate the devil. I hate what sin does to people. You say, well, I tell you what, I want to tell you something. I'd rather go down, everything blow out, me trying to do what's right in the Bible, than me sit back and never do nothing.
Amen.
Amen. Anyway, I just kind of get this. Look, he said, by the way, he said, lest the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness. That's what I want to tell you something. Let me just give you a little deal here. How does pornography get on the internet or wherever it gets, book-wise, how does it get there? Somebody allowed themselves to be pictured and photographed. Yeah. Prostituted themselves. All this pornography is nothing less than prostitution. Selling yourself one way or another. And God says, if you allow that, your daughter to get involved in that, you're going to bring the land to whoredom. And he said, it's going to get you. Verse number 30, keep my Sabbath, reverence my sanctuary. I'm the Lord. Now we could get into that. Now I know about the Sabbaths and all that. By the way, look at the S on the end of Sabbath. That'll help you jump over a lot of hoops and that stuff. Look at verse number 31. I coming through Springfield the other day and looked over in a big sign, palm reader. I thought about stopping in and asking if she could tell me my future. I think I will sometime. It'd be worth $15 just to say. She started asking me questions. I said, no, I don't even tell you nothing. You're the one who knows everything. You're supposed to know it all. You tell me. What are you in here for? Well, you tell me what I'm in here for. You know it all. Dumbest bunch of stuff I've ever seen. But I tell you what, people reading that stuff, regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards, Harry Potter, to be defiled by them. I'm the Lord your God. Watch verse number 32. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. Some of you lazy scoundrel little punks out there, you won't even stand up when an older man walks up to you. You're that disrespectful. LC's not here tonight. If he was, I'd give him credit. One thing I remember about when I say LC, I'm talking about little Clyde. They moved up here to the Carolinas, and he always called him Mr. Reg. Mr. Reg. Mr. Reg. And he always said, And he'd always say, thank you, sir, or yes, sir, no, sir. I forgot. Where'd this kid come from? There are certain parts of the country that still believe that young people ought to respect the elders.
Amen.
Right. I could get into a bunch of that. That ought to be preached on. I never seen the like in my life of spoiled, rotten brats. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear the Lord. I am the Lord. If a stranger sojourn with you in the land, you shall not vex him. You know what that means? We let somebody come in on a green card, and we got them in here to work, you better treat them right. Now you hang on your hat. I said if we brought them in, okay? I'm not talking about an illegal alien who crosses in the land illegal. I'm talking about, we say, okay, come up here on a work permit. You don't take advantage of that old boy just because he's trying to make 20 bucks send back to his mom and daddy. By the way, that's what the Chamber of Commerce in the United States is doing right now. Chamber of Commerce is against Trump and all this deal. You know why it is? Because they love that cheap labor. Do you know why? I'm going to blow your gasket out tonight. You know why politicians like illegal immigration? There's two main reasons tonight. Number one, California is trying to expand its congressional vote basis. They've already done it. They're already counting their illegal aliens, and they're expanding their congressional delegation. But number two, it's for cheap. Politicians know they need cheap food. And the only way this nation right now can have cheap food is with cheap labor. Somebody's got to pick the muskmelons, and ain't no white boys willing to do it. Now, and here's the thing. There's some white boys willing to do it, but they ain't willing to do it for what the Mexicans will do it for. Because they paid the white boys to milk the cows, the milk could cost too much money for the ladies at store, and the ladies would start griping, and the first thing you know, they'd say, let's don't vote for him. Food went up when he was in office. I'm talking about liberty. Can I just give you a prophetic prediction? And I'm not God, and God didn't tell me this, but I got enough sense that I can read history and find out. Did you know what's going to happen in about 30 years? The Mexicans and the Asians will own most of the wealth in this country.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
That's a historical pattern when we do what we're doing. We want everything cheap, but we don't want to pay somebody a just wage to do it. Ah, boy, we got off, didn't we? Look at verse number 35. You should do no unrighteous in judgment and meat yard and weight and a measure. If you say there's 3 pounds in there, there better be 3 pounds in there.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Just balances, just weight, and a just ephah, just hin shall you have. I'm the Lord your God. By the way, if what the other guy's doing is sin, it ought to weigh just as much in your scale.
Amen.
Just weigh as much as mine. And I could go on, but I want to show you one more pattern here because this is where we're up against. And I can't believe, when I started preaching in 1982, if you'd have told me in 2019, you will be preaching on this stuff, I'd have said, well, no, sure, it won't, no, huh? But I want to show you a pattern. Go to chapter 20 and verse number 9. Well, stay with me now, get ready to go. For everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Wonder what would happen. Can I take, let me just tell you something. And I don't know where this will hit all night, but we're going to go. In the millennial reign, you will live under this. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. Yes, sir. Do you really think in the millennial reign that Jesus Christ is going to put up with a bunch of sodomites and adultery and wickedness and all kinds of garbage going? Do you really think that? Is that what you think? No. God said, in his law said, you curse your father, your mother, you should be put to death. He hath cursed his father, his mother, his blood shall be upon him. Now watch this move. From disrespect and dishonor to parents. By the way, that was a violation of one of the Ten Commandments. It moves to verse number 10. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Now, boy, I can see some of them little sweetie pie preachers jumping up now on TV and saying, oh, but in John chapter 8, they brought that adulterous woman to Jesus. And he said, neither do I condemn thee, and go and sin no more. And he didn't stone her. That's exactly right, he didn't stone her. But there's a reason he didn't stone her. Did you know Jesus never did say, do away with the law of Moses? He didn't say that at all. You know what the problem was? Those people were not. Their problem was the people that brought her to Jesus were in violation of the law themselves and perverting the law. And Jesus said, you're not getting by with this. Fact of it was, if Jesus would have let them stone her, Jesus would have been violating the law himself. Because the law said that both of them had to be there, the adulterer and the adulteress, both the man and the woman. It's not about the fact that Jesus said, oh, it's just fine that she committed adultery. He did not say that. In fact, what did he tell her? Go and sin no more. Jesus never said, well, the Old Testament law is no good. That's why I believe what he wrote in the sand was, where's the man? Or at least he wrote Leviticus 22:22, or wrote this 20, verse number 10. I want to tell you about Jesus. Don't you ever think for a second, everything he said in the New Testament will fit perfectly with the law and the spirit of the law. Look at verse number 11. Now watch the progression. You got disrespectful kids cursing their father and their mother. Then you've got adultery in the land. Then you've got verse number 11. The man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. The blood shall be upon them. So now it's moving to incest. And then look at verse number 12. This getting more perverse. The man lieth with his daughter-in-law. Both of them shall surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion. Their blood shall be upon them. Now this, everything here, God says you put them to death for. Verse number 13, if a man lie with mankind, he lies with woman, both of them have committed abomination, they shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. Buttigieg, this guy running for president, ought to be put to death according to the law of God.
Amen.
Exactly. Now you show me in the New Testament where God ever negated that law. I'll buy you supper anywhere in Springfield tonight. But I want to tell you what's going on. If you watch what's going on, it's a progression. Everybody's real quiet in here. You're tight. Because most of you swallowed this garbage, modernistic preaching. I'm going to show you the answer to this pretty soon, but I'm going to tell you something. If in this country, how many thinks there'd be a lot of sodomite business going on if everybody's put to death doing it? How many thinks there'd be a lot of woman chasing and adultery going on if everybody's put to death doing it? Verse 14, man take a wife and a mother, it's wickedness. They shall be burnt with fire. Both he and they, there shall be no wickedness among you. Look at verse 50. Look at the progression. And if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and you shall slay the beast. And he goes to verse 16 further with that. These are death penalties. And most commentators would tell you that that's all done away with in the New Testament. Show me. I'll show you what's in the New Testament. Just go to Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5. Let's look at your Bible. See, some of you have been so, I mean, you know, whoever hears this, there'll be people, I can just see them hitting the button. Shut that off. Where'd you get that at? That guy's crazy. Well, stay with me and ask yourself, do I believe the Bible? Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. This is Sermon on the Mount stuff. This is turn the other cheek stuff, okay? Verse 17, think not, this Jesus speaking, that I am come to destroy the law. He said, if you think that I've come to destroy the law, don't think that. Or the prophets. I am not come to destroy it, but here's the big key, to fulfill. And he did. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Verse 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments and teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But who shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And then he just really knocks them over by verse number 20 by saying, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter in the kingdom of heaven. And when he said that, I promise you, heads rolled in the congregation.
Amen.
Because they thought they were the really people who lived it. Now, I want to ask you all a question. Is anybody besides me in here guilty of breaking some of these laws? Guess what? The death penalty's on you. But guess what? Jesus died in my place.
Amen.
What Satan has done in order to destroy God's law out of our land as a basis for living and social construct and to have liberty, he has perverted grace, said, you're a Christian, you can live any stinking way you want to. Oh, that old preacher, he's just mean. No, the truth is, we're all lawbreakers. And we all have the sentence of death upon us. But he died in my place.
Amen.
Now you listen to me, this is serious, serious business. And it's at this point where the Spirit, the ministration of the Spirit kicks in. And the Spirit of God says to your heart, I should die because I'm a transgressor of the holy laws of Almighty God. But God loved me so much and knew that I could not fulfill them, I could not live them, I could not keep them. Jesus told him, we could go in the New Testament, he said, you don't even keep the law yourself. Said, you're trying to make other people, you put yokes on them, you don't even bear. And Jesus, God said, I sent my son, and he suffered the death that you should have suffered. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was forsaken so you wouldn't be forsaken.
Amen.
But that's not the end of it. Now, we listen. He didn't just die for our sins. He was buried, and on the third day, he rose again. And he rose again to give us eternal life. And this is where the ministration in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 comes in. Because you see, all that law could do was kill you. It could not save you.
Amen.
All it could do was sentence you to death. But that doesn't mean it's not a good law. And can I tell you something? We need laws. I'm just going to be honest with you. We need laws in this land against divorce. We need to get back to the reason the Bible said it could be. We need, I mean, people get tied on this, don't they? How many things we ought to have laws against stealing? Well, how come we're so quick on that, but some of these other things we're not so quick on? Because we've been culturally conditioned to accept it and think that it's part of the way our life should be. Oh, we've got this little set of sins over here that most other people do, but we don't do that. And all of a sudden, it seems like until it's our child that does it, well, it was real bad, but now that it's our child, it's not quite as bad. Now, I'm wanting to get out of the law real bad here, okay? So let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You know what? If you weren't such a bunch of Episcopalians, you'd shout right now. Because we're all under the sentence of death. But Christ died for us. Hey, I am crucified with Christ. The debt, my sin debt is paid in Christ. This is the gospel. This is the good news that somebody died in my place for my sin. And I don't have the curse of sin upon me, the death sentence upon me. But it's more than he just died. He rose from the dead, and he has power over death, hell, and the grave. And I'm telling you, he gives us grace, the desire, and the power to obey the law of God, to want to do right. Let me illustrate this to you tonight. June the 25th, 1977, my dad grabbed me by the arm and marched me up the aisle. Said, now get up there and say I do. And for 42 years, I've been married to her, and it's just, it's terrible. But the law says I got to stay married to her. No, that ain't had and has been. I said, man, they ever going to get this show on the road? Man, I tell you what, I walked in there and I was ready to say, I do, I will, whatever we got to do, let's get this thing rolling. Amen?
Amen.
Why? Tell me why. Was it law?
Love.
Love. Liberty. You see, here's the whole deal about your church life. When it moves by the Spirit of God to where it's no longer, well, the preacher says this, and the preacher says that, and he preached on this, and he preached on that, and that makes me sick. See, you're living in cold stone religion. Let me tell you what the whole change is. Not only, it ain't, I have to stay with her. I want to stay with her. In fact, I've told her, I said, I'm not a leaving. You leave, but I'm not a leaving.
I would tell Myra, you leave, I'm going with you.
Okay. There you go. But what's the deal? And I'll tell you what else happened, Danny. November the 4th, 1979, I believe it was. It's up at the hospital, nurse came through there, had this little yellow blanket, said, you want to see this little baby? Said, you want to see the little boy? I said, nah. I'd have to feed him and take care of him. But anyway, I took him out of the hospital. And I tell you what, for 18 or 19 years, Danny, had to feed that guy. I tell you, Danny Hopper, it was a mess. Boy, was I glad when they left. Oh, when Susanna left the house, it was glory, hallelujah, they're all gone. No. Did you know not one day in my life, Ben, you've got three little boys. I mean, do you go to work every day going, boy, I just wish I could get out of this situation having to feed these three boys. If it wasn't for the law of God, I'd be out of here. All that law of God that makes me love my children, tells me to love my children, to feed my children, to care for my children. What a horrible law it is. No, it's love. He'd give his life for them. Amen. Nobody's forcing him to go to work in the morning to feed his kids and his family. And when the Spirit of God puts love in your heart for the Lord and for His Word, it's no longer I have to and it's a big pain in the neck. It's glory to God I get to. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm just telling you, it's all different. This is what God's trying to get across to. It's what our founders wanted to get across. Listen, let's don't serve the Lord because we have to. Let's get saved, have the Spirit of God in us, and let's have liberty. That's what they were telling you on the Liberty Bell.
Amen.
Let's live by the laws of God and we'll have liberty in this land. And we'll be a blessing to each other, and God will bless our land. It's the flesh versus the spirit. Now, let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Now, I got to finish this, and I hope I'll try to do my best. Verse number 18, here's how it happens. Now, I want to give you something. When the children of Israel had the serpent, remember the serpent bit them, were killing them, and he told Moses to make a brazen serpent, right? Put it on a pole. And what did they have to do to be cured? Look. One glance. Salvation is instantaneous. Boom! God creates a new person. The second you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God saves you and puts a new man, creates a new creature in you. Instantaneous salvation. Pass from death unto life.
Amen.
But he moves from verse 17 in salvation to sanctification in verse 18. And let me tell you about sanctification. It takes a long time. Write this in your Bible somewhere. Salvation comes from a glimpse. But sanctification comes by gazing. You look to the Lord to be saved, but you gaze at God to become like Him. And here's where we're going to go with this. Get your Bible. I'm telling you, I need to shut up and read the Bible. You read your Bible. Here it is, verse 18. But we all, here it is. Not some of us. Everybody hear that? Everybody, we all, with open face. You know what that means? He's going to get away from the veil. Open face. Look in the Bible. Open face, behold as in a glass. By the way, that open face also means honesty. Not hiding from God. How many's ever hated to look in the mirror besides me? How many's ever scared yourself in the morning?
Amen.
Good little living. I come in the other night. Please put up with me for just a little bit. One of my grandchildren was there. Which one was it, Karen? I told him I got. Oh, it was Wakely. And Wakely was at the house. And I come in there and I said, Wake. And Danny, I ain't kidding you. My hair was every which way up. I mean, it looked like Wild Man. And I knew it. And I come in there. I said, Wakely? She said, yeah, Pa. I said, look at the haircut your mama gave me. She said, she didn't give you that haircut. I said, she did too. No, she didn't give you that haircut, she said. And I'm going to be honest. And then so I decided not to go back. I went back in and looked at it again. I said, man, why did I scare that girl to death? Do you know what? Sometimes we're afraid to look in the mirror for what we'll see. God says if you want to grow in the Lord, you've got to take time and gaze into this mirror, this book. The mirror in that passage of Scripture is talking about the Bible. It says, but we all with open face beholding. There's a word behold. You know, we get this word, behold. What's hold mean? You hang on. It's just not a passing thing. You read your Bible and you behold it and you look at it and you're gazing at it. You're gazing at the Lord Jesus Christ. You're gazing at His Word. He said, we all with open face behold as a glass. We're looking, the Bible's a mirror with the glory of the Lord. God said, can I just tell you this? If you'll read this book a lot, your face will shine better.
Amen.
Your face will smile more.
Yep.
There'll be more light in your eyes. Here's the deal. Watch this. He said, above that, if the ministration of the law was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministration of the Spirit? And what he's saying is, as you read this book, the Spirit of the Lord will put the glory of God upon your face and upon your soul, upon your heart. And he said, this liberty will come. He said, and then what's, is anybody, would anybody here like to be changed a little bit? All right. He said, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, we're looking in the Bible at Jesus, are changed. How many in here has, you're not the same person you were back when you got saved? Can I tell you something? Christianity, sanctification is no drive-by at McDonald's. It's not instant coffee in the morning. And if you honestly do not want to be changed, can I tell you something? I can't change you, and you can't change me. One of the reasons, one of the first times I ever realized the wisdom that God had given my wife, Danny, well, she told me one day, she said, I can't change you. Can I tell you, parents, you can't change your kids. Read your Bible. What will change them? What's it say? By what? Look at your Bible. Read it. Everybody read it. I want you to get this. How are you going to change things?
By the Spirit.
How we're changed is by holding the Word of God, looking in that mirror, beholding the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are changed from glory to glory, little by phase by phase. How? By the Spirit of the Lord. Now let me tell you young people something here tonight. Us parents of yours are pretty stupid. I'll tell my kids, I'm pretty stupid. Because there's been times in our life when I think, I'm going to change them. The parents don't change kids. You can whoop them and put the letter in, but if you're not without the Spirit, they just get harder. That's what puts parents on their knees, is knowing we can't change them. And there's not a parent in this church house tonight, but what, honest to goodnessly, in your heart, what you want is for the Spirit of God to do a work in your children's heart. That's what you really want. That's what we're after. God says that happens by reading your Bible. Let's just get real simple and get out of here. Beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The only thing that's ever going to change you is not rules. It's not being by 11 o'clock. It's not, I don't want you watching that. That's all fine. But if it's absent of the Holy Spirit, it will not change them.
Amen.
And this is one of the greatest truths you will ever get a hold of in your life. And if you're back there tonight and you're inside your guts, inside your heart, you're saying, I wished I could change. Let me tell you how you're going to change. I want you to look at a word in this passage of Scripture. But we all with open what?
Face.
What's connected with face in your culture? Face book. If you will get your face in this book,
amen,
God will change you.
Amen.
Did you know you watching Facebook will change you? Yeah. It'll change you. You'll start get, watch this. One of the things I abhor about Facebook is when people put vile photos on of sodomites or anything else. I never look at those. The instant I ever see them, I knock them out. You know why? Because I don't want to get used to seeing it. In fact, if there's anything that makes me say, ah, we're ready to just stay totally off, it's that garbage right there. Because you get used to what you're looking at. If you want to change, I'm just saying to you personally, and if I want to change personally, the best thing I can do is read my Bible, meditate in the Word of God. That's. Can I just tell you tonight, that's the only way you're ever going to change.
Amen.
By the Spirit of the Lord. This is so freeing to me. I'm just going to get up and preach the Bible, but it's not my responsibility to change you.
Amen.
And if you don't change, I'm not going to get mad about it. I might be grieved. I might be disappointed. It might hurt. But I'm not going to be mad about it because I know I can't change you. And it's not my job to change you. It's my job to point you to the one who can change you. So I would encourage all of us tonight to put a happy face on and say, boy, glory to God. God loves me so much and God is so wise that he will give us his Spirit as we read his word, and it will change us. And it will make us love what we used to hate.
Amen.
And hate what we used to love.
Amen.
The old timers knew about this, and here's what they sung. The things I used to do, I don't do no more. For the Lord made a change in me. Now listen, the songs I used to hear, I don't hear no more. For the Lord made a change in me. The places I used to go, I don't go no more. For the Lord made a change in me. And you could go on and on with it. My heart's prayer tonight, I'm telling you right now, if God took me out this week and this was to be the last message I ever preached this church, I want you to get this great Bible truth that our founders knew. Liberty comes when we learn to love the law of God and know that it's fulfilled in Christ because he paid our death sentence for us and he knows what's good for us and it gives us life and liberty. Gives us happiness. I want you to know something, that you'll never be changed except by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Now, let me tell you this, in the morning, we can put on the dog. Danny, poor Danny, he sits right there, and I'm always going, Danny. But Karen, I'll just say this to Karen. You know what scares me, Karen? Is the dog I put on, even to your folks when I met you. I tried to act like I was a pretty good guy, when in reality I was sorry as dirt and filth. You see, you can act, watch, are you listening? You can act like you're changed and you can put on like you changed, but only in the heart. Only the Holy Spirit can change us from the heart. I got a problem with anger. The only way in the world it's ever going to be fixed is by me beholding the glory of Jesus Christ and him changing me by his Spirit from glory to glory. I hope I'm not what I once was, and I also hope that I'm not what I will, that I will be better in time. Sanctification takes time. Doesn't happen overnight. But it can happen if you'll read your Bible. If you don't read your Bible, you're not going to change. And further, let me say this to you, if you don't want to change, if you don't want God to change you and conform you to the image of his Son. Now, we're going to talk about this as positional sanctification. In the next chapter, he's going to kick right into practicality. You know what he says? If this is happening to you, you're going to renounce the things that's dishonest. It's going to change your life. You'll want to do right. You'll want to serve God. You'll want to do what the Lord says to do because his Spirit lives within you. And here's what I'm after. My personal Christianity, I want to do right not because, oh, what would people say?
Yeah.
I want to do right because it's right, because I love the Lord.
Amen.
I want our families to be governed by the Spirit of the Lord. I want my conduct. Zach sung a song a long time ago. Zach, I don't remember what name it was, but it's something about if nobody knew. You remember what that was? But it's something about, but God would know. That's where God wants us to get. And that we live with our wife because we love her, not because we have to. That we raise our children because and go to all that expense and trouble because we love them. It's not a pain in the neck to us because we love them. And my harsh desire for this church is that this church truly be a place of liberty.
Amen.
Where people are living within the bounds of God's wonderful, holy law. And they do it because they love Him. Because He's changed their heart. Let's stand together. Father, we thank You tonight for the Word of God. And Lord, I preached myself under conviction. Lord, while I've been preaching tonight, I've been thinking, well, how long is it going to take? And how much Bible reading will I have to do? But Lord, You've said from glory to glory. I pray, God, tonight that we'd give each other time to grow, to change. Forgive me, Lord, for making me for me thinking that I can change people, and for even trying to change people. Forgive me for thinking I could change myself. For Lord, we are not changed except by the Spirit of the Lord. God, tonight I want these people to have liberty, and I want liberty. God, help us to know that it's liberty within the law. We can't just drive any way we want to and any place we want to. But it's nice to be able to drive. Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God would work in us in such a way, Lord, and change us. And I pray, God, that we would not come forth as cold letters of stone, bringing death by rules and regulations and all kinds of stupid stuff implemented by man and putting yokes on ourselves and other people. But, oh God, when I look and I see a family where the children have something in their eyes and their face, and the teenagers, Lord, that I see in this church have something in their face that says they want to serve God. They're not ashamed of Jesus. God, it blesses my heart. I love to see that liberty. Spread it throughout this church. Work in our hearts individually. And God, again, please give us patience with each other. And time, and realize that even some folks may be facing a far more fierce and serious battle against Satan because of the plans that You have for their life. God, help us to have mercy on others as we'd like to have mercy. Lord, I love You tonight, and I pray that I love You more and love You enough to do right. Lord, forgive us. Forgive me of my sins and iniquities. And Lord, I'm asking You, before I die, let this church live up to its name. That where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And we don't try to do right because somebody said we had to. We want to do right because You said to, Lord, because You give us the grace to, because it's the right thing. Oh, God, I don't care what's going on somewhere else, but Lord, in this place, I beg of You in Jesus' name, pour out Your Spirit. May the wind of the Holy Ghost sweep through this place, and we'd look at ourselves and let You talk to us, and we'd read our Bibles, and nobody'd have to say, you ought to read your Bible. But we'd be willing to look with an open face, be willing to let You show us ourselves, and then, Lord, show us the glory of Jesus Christ. God, I just pray these things. I don't hardly know how to pray, but I think, Lord, I know You know what's in my heart. And I pray the Spirit would make intercession according to the will of God. In Jesus' name, amen.